Hello and welcome to Missing Mystic Falls, where we cast a critical eye over every single episode of the hit CW show The Vampire Diaries. I'm Catherine, and joining me, as always, are my co-host Ellie.
Hello, hello.
Hi.
Hi.
And then we are also joined by our other co-host who once broke a phone by putting it through a washing machine, Alice.
Sadly, it was also my work phone.
So today we are talking about season one, episode four, Family Ties. This first aired on the 1st of October, 2009. It was written by Andrew Kresberg and Brian Young. They both go on to write various episodes of Vampire Diaries. We'll say Andrew Kresberg, comic book writer and known pervert. So we're not a big fan of his.
Yeah. I don't love that.
No. It was directed by Guy Fiedland. So Stefan escorts Elena to the town's founder's party. Meanwhile, the animosity between the two brothers heats up as Zach reveals a useful family secret to Stefan, and Stefan finally sees an opportunity to get Damon out of his life forever.
Dun, dun, dun.
You guys did that so in sync. It was really good.
Well, I'll start while Alice is just on her phone.
My notes are on my phone. So I'm not just distracted.
Just completely disengaged with the podcast right now. Outrageous, Alice.
So we had our first, we've had lots of Missing Falls events, but this was our first big Founders event.
I am so happy that the Founders are properly in it, because we spoke about it, I think, in a fair few episodes of the differences in the way that you're treated if you're a founding family and how it's so entrenched in Mystic Falls. And I think this is the first time that it's cemented and that we properly see it.
What's interesting is I think it's the first episode where a main character doesn't appear. So Matt isn't in it at all.
I didn't notice that he wasn't in it.
You don't miss him.
You say main character, I'm like, meh.
No, so he's credited as a starring role. So he's still credited in the episode, because when you're like a main character in a TV show, it's like SAG rules, you have to be credited even if you're not there. So he is still credited for the episode, even though he does not appear.
Because he's a Donovan.
Because he's a Donovan. And not let into Tyler's
party.
Not a founder.
It was ridiculous. With the founding family, so you see how integral they are. Did you think it was ridiculous? And we can get onto it when it gets to that bit in the episode. But you know when they're looking through the original list?
Yeah.
Elena reads out Sheriff Forbes and Mayor Lockwood. Like, are they just, is that what they have to do for 150 years?
No, we need to get into this, because we meet a lot of founders throughout the series of The Run, and the Lockwoods are always mayors, and then it seems like the Forbes are always the sheriffs. Is it a title you inherit? Why are they always... That's not how small town America works. Someone tell me that's not true.
I feel like they might just be dumbing it down for us audience here. They might be like, oh, let's make it exactly the same.
So you know that the Forbes are founders. Yeah, because I feel like mayors potentially could be passed down political families. I don't know. I mean, it should be a democracy, but as in you raise the type of person who would want to be a mayor. But the sheriff, I feel, should not be...
Sheriffs in America are elected positions. That might not be true, but I'm pretty sure it is.
You said that so confidently, and then
I got really confident, and now I immediately backtrack. I think sheriffs are elected.
I think you are right, and I also think, given some of the things we see later in the show, you are right.
Yeah. Took me a moment there, but...
surprised.
It may be after I've stopped watching.
To be fair, I think it was after I stopped watching, but I do know.
The fact that you know that. tangent, but this weekend, listeners are going to get a bit of an insight into our lives. We did a quiz on all the murders from that happens in Vampire Diaries and who was the murderer. Alice can't remember the main characters, but really so quickly gets the smallest people.
Niche characters who are in one episode should be like, oh, so-and-so killed them. No idea how she knows that.
But main characters, she's like, oh.
Not a clue.
I mean, just in case you thought that we're not spending too much of our time talking about Vampire Diaries.
Yeah, we were actually saying, and we thought that this podcast would be an outlet for our Vampire Diaries chat so that we wouldn't be bombarding our friends with it outside of the podcast. But sadly, it seems to have done the opposite. So sorry to all our friends who may be listening and have heard all this for the 100th time.
Yeah, sorry, but we're not gonna stop.
No.
Let's talk about this episode.
Spurred us on.
So this episode opens with it's a dream of Stefan's that Elena is being attacked by Damon.
You don't know if it's a dream to start off with, and it takes a little while before you realise.
The big reveal.
Dum, dum, dum.
No, I think all the openings of the season so far have been really strong because they always start with a murder or something really creepy. Initially, I thought it was Elena's dream because I was like, how creepy, she's seeing herself dead on TV. And then when Damon appears, I'm like, how can she know? She doesn't know anything about Damon yet other than he tried to hit on her and he's clearly a bit of a dick. But other than that, he's just her boyfriend's brother. So I was really confused from that side. And then I was like, oh, really confused for a second. And then put it together.
Once again, outsmarted by the writers of Vampire Diaries. It was really Stefan's dream.
Also, what I think is funny in this dream, and this is a really minor point, but Stefan dreams about Logan Fell being on the news.
I thought that.
How does he know Logan Fell?
Right. Are your local news reporters in your dreams?
We don't have local news reporters.
We have BBC Northwest Tonight. We don't.
We currently living in London do not know. Yeah, that is true. No, never.
But it's not Stefan who knows Logan. Damon knows who Logan is because Damon sets the dream.
Oh, good point.
So yeah. Damon is paying close attention, which makes sense because of all the animal attacks.
Yeah, I guess he's probably watching the news of his own committed murders.
You were being unnecessarily harsh. This makes complete sense.
All right.
When Mystic Falls learns nothing about Mystic Falls and it's so obsessed with the community, then in a town like Mystic Falls, you would assume that someone like Logan Fell.
Local celebrity.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think so. I have a big question because once Stefan wakes up and he realizes it's a dream, there's a little confrontation between the two, which ends up with both of them getting stabbed. Now, vampires get hurt and they heal. That's fine. Do they feel pain? Because Damon didn't blink.
I think they do feel pain because Stefan, a bit later on...
And Stefan did feel pain.
So I think the level of pain might be in correlation to how much human blood they drink. So I think Damon still feels pain, but a lot less than Stefan.
Yeah, because this whole episode is really hammering home that Damon's stronger because he drinks human blood and Stefan's the weak one and he can't do anything to stop Damon. So much weaker. So that's why I think they do it where Stefan throws the knife, Damon has zero reaction, and then the second Damon does it, Stefan's...
The line then? Because Damon does feel pain.
Yeah.
But I think it's just also...
But not being stabbed.
Maybe it's because Stefan... I was about to say Paul Wesley. Maybe it's because Stefan, the way he doesn't have enough strength behind the throw, whereas Damon had more strength in the hit as well. So I think it's a combination of the two.
Yeah, you're
is
right.
Is what I would say.
I think also Damon's probably one of those people who, if he feels a bit... He doesn't want to let people know his current emotions. As we get, I think, quite a lot of this episode, we don't really know what he's up to, but I think that probably plays into him expressing feeling pain as well.
He's on all the time.
Yeah. Did you think when Stefan takes the knife out, God, Paul Wesley's ripped.
Ripped.
Oh yeah. So I think that ripped. Was definitely an excuse for them to be like, come on, show us your abs.
Like, I was really shocked.
It was so much. I'm sure Paul Wesley was shredded, but I think there was a little bit of makeup adding some definition there because it was so shredded. I don't think that's healthy for a person to walk around like that.
It's too defined.
Yeah.
But in between, so I think in between these two scenes, you get the Jenna calling Logan Fell scum Fell. So we get kind of a bit of an insight. It's also quite a big juxtaposition between quite like a jarring scene with the dream. And then you get Jenna just ranting about an ex-boyfriend.
Yeah.
Can we go back just a second?
Oh, yeah.
We skipped over something that I think we need to discuss.
Is it the same thing?
I don't know. What are you going to say?
That Damon has an unflinching ability to listen to Taylor Swift.
Yeah, there we go. There was a Taylor Swift shout out.
I've got it in my notes, but that scene was after the Logan Fell scene, so...
Was it? I have the Logan Fell one out.
I've got Elena's dream that wakes up and it's Stefan.
Either way, it makes more sense to do the whole thing together, the Damon Stefan fight.
No, it's in my notes. Your notes have gone chaotic.
Am I wrong?
Anyway, Damon listens to Taylor Swift, and what we need to talk about is what album do you think is his favorite?
Reputation.
Oh, okay. I see that. I would have said 1989 because I think he likes party music. Yeah. But then also importantly, what other albums are the characters listening to?
Taylor Swift or just in general?
Taylor Swift. Let's stick to the theme here.
Okay, well, Stefan is listening to Fearless.
Oh, see, I think Stefan, I've thought about this. I think Stefan is like, oh, I'm above her until Folklore comes out, and then he's a Folklore fan.
Oh, that's so true.
I was actually going to say Folklore despite my lesser Taylor Swift knowledge. That was what I was going to go with.
Yeah, he's not a true fan, but then,
yeah, then she comes around. Yeah. And then Bonnie gives me big Evermore vibes.
Oh, 100%.
Because that's quite witchy, I think.
What vibe are you saying for Caroline? I would say 1989. Or Lover.
See, I would say Lover or Speak Now, because I think she's really romantic, fairy tale-y.
Yeah. Yeah, Lover. Let's go. I would say Lover.
Yeah.
What about Matt and Tyler?
Matt is an original debut.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Tyler. Tyler's maybe Midnights.
But would not tell anyone that he is actually a fan.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then...
what's Elena?
Red.
I half want to say Elena's Speak Now, because you know the song Speak Now where she stands up and she's like, don't say yes, and it's all about...
I think she's maybe previous Elena, pre-parents dying, but I think she's got a little bit of depression in her, which, like, I think Red has the lows more. But yeah, that is my theory.
I love that. Listeners, let us know what you think. Also, if you think Alice is right that the scene happened
afterwards. I'm wrong. I go, Logan Fell mentioned, and in my head that just got me into a whole Logan Fell debacle, and no, it's just, he's just mentioned in the news report. The scene is later. I stand corrected.
You almost made us miss a Taylor Swift shout.
I know. I'm so sorry. How could I?
Never gonna happen.
When that happened when I was watching it, I gasped. It came out. I was like, oh my God, she's mentioned. Amazing.
And I immediately was like, how can we talk for longer about Taylor Swift albums?
I wanted to see which one of us would mention it first or how long it took. I didn't know if we'd mention it when we were discussing the recap of the episode at all.
It would come up. No, so now we can talk about Alice, that Jenna talks about Logan as being her ex. So in the previous episode, she said one of her exes was a cheater, one had mummy problems, and one was addicted to methamphetamines.
Which one's Logan?
Which one's Logan?
Dying to know.
He's definitely the cheater.
Yes, but are they all three? Like,
exactly.
We don't know.
Who knows? Maybe we'll find out in the show. A little bit of sizzle.
Gotta keep you gripped in case you're not already. But don't you think, so sorry, now we're dropping, I've just got too thrown by Taylor Swift. So then Stefan and Elena are like going at it heavy in her room.
Yes.
Yep.
Door open. So Stefan arrives and she like does a little look around like, oh, is anyone going to see me peck my boyfriend on the lips? And then they're fully making out with an open door.
Yeah.
Like him on top of her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But they couldn't see them kiss hello.
No, that would be too much. But, and Stefan, once again, at no point in this series so far has he been remotely subtle in trying to hide the fact that he's a vampire.
Oh my God, no.
Because Elena goes, will you be my date to the Founders Party? And he goes, the Founders Party? They still do that?
I wrote that down.
Oh, yeah, I've got that as well. What an idiot. Like,
he wants to be caught.
I think so. He doesn't like to be a liar because he's so moral, is Stefan.
Yeah. I think, with the steamy making out, I think they're being really clear that they're different from Twilight, because, like, Twilight isn't, like, a sexy, like, they barely have sex in Twilight, but in Vampire Diaries, there's, like, multiple scenes every episode to be like, this is a hot show.
But did you enjoy all the references to Twilight this episode?
Oh, there's some great ones.
Yeah. Oh, God. Right,
we can wait and get on to it.
We can talk a bit about it now. So, later on, Damon is talking about Twilight.
I think, yeah, he's reading Twilight.
He's reading it, and Caroline asks him why he doesn't sparkle. And this is actually one of my least favourite TV tropes ever, which is a thing called hanging a lantern, which is where something like ridiculous is going to happen or like would break the audience disbelief. And they point it out to try and make it okay with the audience. So obviously everyone's like really aware about all the Twilight comparisons. So they think if they can point it out, we're just going to let it go. And I won't stop talking about it. It's insane.
Oh, but you know, interestingly, I quite liked how they did it because I thought it was quite a way of Damon explaining what the vampires like are in their world. compared to, so why don't you sparkle? Oh, well, we would just be set on flame, but I have a daylight ring. And why don't you do this?
You want to be likable. Because the writers, right. So I think I'm very sensitive to this. Writers do it because they know audiences like it. But I'm just, every time it happens, I get like my hackles up about it. And I'm like, I fucking hate this writing trope.
I get you. I think it's also because I guess its audience is people who will have watched and read Twilight. Yeah. So they're like,
hello.
Oh gosh, these people are going to be pissed off. They haven't worked. Like, these vampires are walking around like...
They're just walking around.
Just walking around. I got lost in my train of thought there. I was like, they're walking around in the sun and realised, yes, they can still do that in Twilight. So, but you get the gist.
Yeah. I did think, of course, Damon is an Anne Rice fan. Like, that makes complete sense to me. He's not reading Twilight.
No, because he made such highbrow references last episode.
He did. Yes, he's a man of culture.
That is Damon.
We had Caroline trying on a dress, and her yellow dress that she was trying on was freaking hideous.
We actually have worked out really well because that's straight on.
That's from the next scene,
yeah. The yellow dress is awful. There's lots of bits of this scene that I didn't like. So the dress is awful. Also, we haven't met Caroline's mum, and she goes, "My mum is going to be there, and she's a very proud gun holder."
God.
I didn't even notice that. Mm.
Maybe because we know who Liz is.
Yeah. I mean, she's the sheriff. Yeah. We meet her in this episode. She's the sheriff. So she does have a gun.
She does have a gun.
It makes legitimately.
More sense. Yeah.
It makes more sense when you know her position. But initially I was like, oh, don't love that.
I also think this scene's really interesting in showing like what a deep hold Damon has over Caroline. Because she's like, are you going to kill me? And he says, yes, but not yet. And she just doesn't even react, and then says like, oh yeah, anything for you, and like giggles. And it really shows like
scary. Yeah, you know, it's a scary scene when she says that. Like, she sounds she acts it really well, because she sounds genuinely terrified when she asks, and then immediately is like, okay, because what else can she do, because she's being compelled.
And it's also in the midst of a really affectionate moment when they're like cuddling and kissing, and she's like, you can be really sweet when you want to be, and then immediately switches. But also when she's changing dresses in the scene, so Damon's telling her to change and he doesn't like the dress she's in because it is arguably a hideous dress anyway.
It's ugly. I don't want to be on Damon's side because he's abusive, but he's right, that dress is ugly.
Yeah, exactly. Taylor Swift wouldn't wear it. No.
Have you ever seen the video of, I think it's Aretha Franklin, when they're asking her to like compliment young singers, and they ask her for a compliment for Taylor Swift, and she's just like, gowns, great gowns, beautiful gowns, and that's all she can say.
No, I haven't seen that, but I love that.
Really funny.
Well, great gowns. I mean, she's not wrong. But when Caroline's changing, you see the horrific bite marks on her back, and you're like, wow, Damon's really going to town. That's my phrase this episode, I think. Just saying a lot. Don't normally say that. On her back.
Yeah, they show kind of the power dynamic and how fucked up it is, and like how messed up it is and evil it is what he's doing to her, which I think they do a good job earlier in the show of showing like what he did to her was so wrong. And then as the show goes on, they really try and like downplay it. And what they don't do is talk about that when you have sex in a relationship with someone who is compelled, you are raping them.
Yeah.
And the show acts like that's not the case, and it's really fucked up, and it's a bad thing to do on any television show, let alone one aimed at teenage girls.
Yes.
Sorry to bring it down, but we do have to say that's wrong.
Oh, it's no, 100%. And it's, yeah, she doesn't want to be in that relationship. She doesn't want to be there. She doesn't want to be sleeping with this boy, and she doesn't want to be a human blood bag. Like, none of that.
This episode, they do a good job of showing it, but that's because Damon's the villain of this episode.
Yeah, not.
And I think throughout this episode, I think you get a good sense of how kind of emotionally damaged Caroline is by it, from kind of the beginning right through to the end.
The very end.
Yeah, go into that.
When she was sobbing, it's so sad, and she doesn't know why she's crying. Oh, it is very emotional.
I think Hannah King is great in this episode. Well, I think she's great.
She's brilliant. Yeah,
she really hadn't done. I think she'd done like the least acting going into the show. So I was watching a few interviews, and she kind of talked about how she like learned on the job the first season. But I think she's great from the get go. And like, this is maybe like the most she's had to do so far, and she knocks every scene out of the park. She's really very good.
She is amazing. I think it's because we've been talking about Vampire Diaries so much that it came up on my algorithm on my phone about some auditions. Did you know Matt Donovan auditioned for Damon?
Oh, I did know that.
Really? I didn't know that.
I do know who auditioned for everyone in general. But yeah, so Matt auditioned for Damon, then they saw him for Stefan. And then they were like, oh no, he's Matt. Which I feel is like an insult.
But he is so Matt.
Paul Wesley also auditioned for Stefan.
I did know that for Damon, yeah.
And then he was only cast like 10 days before the pilot shot. They didn't cast Stefan for ages and ages.
Do you think it's because they finally saw Paul Wesley's episode of The OC? Where he's a villain.
His starring performance.
With the crazy honeys.
Crazy honeys.
Maybe that's why they saw him for Damon, because this is the we're four episodes in and every episode we've talked about The OC. I have seen one episode and it's this episode.
I just got so excited that Stefan was in it when I was rewatching it for the billionth time. So I forced Catherine to watch it.
But he's nasty in that.
Yeah, he is just a bad influence. He has a gun. He shoots a guy. Not a great guy. And he refers to women as crazy honeys. Yeah.
No.
No. Really selling The OC. But watch it, guys. It's great.
To be fair, I did watch the first few seasons and it is great. It's rubbish, but it's great.
Save this for our OC recap. coming soon.
Okay.
Coming when we finish this, so in about, 10 years?
Okay.
No. So we move on in the episode. Don't laugh at me. We must move on. We can't stay here.
You're like 5 minutes in forever.
We move on from The OC. I mean, that's what you were trying to say.
To the Mystic Grill, and we get a scene with an icon, a legend, the woman of our time.
I will say that, but I will also say she is awful in this episode.
Oh yeah,
right. My favorite, right.
I wanted to see how you're going to do this
show. Bearing in mind that I'm someone that loves to revel in a tertiary character, is Carol Lockwood. I will say that she's not great in this episode. They changed the direction of her character a little bit. But she looks beautiful and I'm so happy to see her and I'm so happy that we can go through this journey of talking about the show through Carol Lockwood's perspective.
is that what we're
every
doing
scene
now?
Yes. Carol's having a cup of tea whilst all this nonsense is going on outside.
So I do want to shout out our new co-stars. So we feature Susan Walters co-starring as Carol Lockwood and Robert Praglow, I think is maybe how you say it, as Richard Lockwood. So we see Tyler's parents for the first time.
They will be added to the relationship chart.
Yes, because they are married. Unhappily so.
And from the off, Mayor Lockwood, the Richard, did you say?
Okay, no, so his name is Richard.
It's Charles.
No. His name is Richard, but in this episode, for some reason, she calls him Charles. Because I paused it when she called him Charles because I was so confused and the trivia popped up.
Did they change his name?
Yeah, they must have like called him Charles and then been like, well, we don't like Charles, we'll call him Richard instead. I prefer Richard for him.
Mm. But he is off the bat not a very nice man. He's like very misogynistic towards Vicky in the grill, like, honey, sweetheart. Ugh.
I hate to say it, but he's nicer than Tyler in that. Yeah. At least he's acknowledging Vicky.
Yeah,
he is nicer than Tyler. Vicky... I'll tell you what Vicky needs. Vicky needs to listen to the Cool Girl monologue from Gone Girl. And she needs to take that going forward rather than like fit herself into like Tyler's life and beg for his affection.
What is the Cool Girl monologue?
You know, in Gone Girl, do you know what I mean, Al?
I haven't seen it in ages.
I think so. I feel like we watched it relatively recently. If you give me a tiny, tiny, tiny... bit more.
Let me Google it.
I feel like I'll...
Because I don't want to misquote it. It's like my favourite monologue on film.
Okay, well, whilst you're Googling that, me and Al can talk. So Tyler, it's the first time we meet the Tyler's parents. They're just having a conversation at the grill. Carol's busy planning this founder's party. So you see Carol's very involved in the founder's stuff. Vicky comes in to see if they need anything. Tyler refuses to make eye contact.
Completely ignores her. It's awful.
And it's just like, they must know, Carol and Richard, Charles, whoever we're going to refer to him as this episode, must know that Tyler's best friend is Matt Donovan. So Tyler's allowed to at least be friendly with Vicky. The fact that he can't even look at her.
Yeah, I feel like it definitely makes it, like, if you were a parent and saw that, you'd be like, something fishy there.
So the Cool Girl monologue, this is like part of it, is where hot and understanding, cool girls never get angry at their men. They only smile in charged and loving manner. Yeah, go ahead, shit on me. I don't mind. I'm the cool girl. It's when she's like, it's the reveal that she, spoilers for Gone Girl, that she faked her own death. It's okay. Really, Ellie, watch it. It's really good.
I've seen Gone Girl. I just haven't seen it in a few years.
Watch that bit. Just that bit.
Okay. That'll be my homework after this.
Vicky needs to listen to it and stop begging for... I mean, guys, don't take life lessons from Gone Girl. But Vicky needs to stop begging for Tyler's attention because, as Jeremy points out, she had to ask him to ask her.
Yeah, to the founder's party. Yeah.
But also Jeremy is just hanging out again at the grill by himself.
They're both awful. He's like, Jeremy's like, you know you're making the wrong choice, as if he's the perfect choice. And God, they're both awful. Tyler, definitely markedly worse, but Jeremy's not great.
They're both awful, yeah. I hate the people who are like, you're making the wrong choice, I'm the right choice. And it's like, no, like, let her make, if she's making a wrong choice for her, like, let her make it. You can't tell her what to do.
Well, because he fundamentally doesn't respect Vicky to make her choice then.
Yeah, exactly.
Once again.
Justice for Vicky Donovan.
Yeah.
Get that a few times again this episode, I feel.
Yeah.
She's come up a lot more than I expected her to before watching the first series again.
We've never spoken about Vicky that much. Like, never. It sounds like we do all the time. But the bit in between her having to ask Tyler to ask her to the founder's party, Bonnie has to ask for an invite.
Bonnie asked
Caroline. She's like, oh, you're going with Damon. Elena's going with Stefan. Who's going to take me?
Oh, no, I don't think she was. Okay, I think she was invited, probably by Tyler. But they said, I think Elena was going with her boyfriend and they were going together. Like, they were just going together.
Okay.
And now she feels ditched by Caroline.
I took it as she didn't get invited.
I thought the same as Catherine. Like, she was like planning on going with Caroline, yeah, rather cool, than okay. She couldn't go without Caroline, but like she didn't want to turn up by herself.
Because she does still go.
She does still go. I got confused with the founding family's hierarchy.
It can't just be founding families who are invited because there's a shit ton of people there. So it can't be.
A ridiculous amount of people.
But not the Donovans.
Not the Donovans. Mystic Falls is like a tiny, tiny town that Stefan can stop someone and ask for Elena's address, right?
Never forget.
Never forget. And yet there are like swarms of people outside the Lockwood Mansion.
Yeah.
They've come from all the neighbouring towns. It's that big a party.
Everyone loves a Founder's Day.
We've got a little scene between Damon and Zach. And I want to say, Zach doesn't call Damon Uncle Damon.
I noticed that as well. Did you pick up on that?
I did. I think they ditched the uncle. I don't think he called Stefan Uncle Stefan this time either.
Well, maybe it's he doesn't see Damon as an uncle figure, unlike the 17-year-old Stefan.
Obviously an uncle figure.
They're really hammering home Damon's not trustworthy, but Stefan is.
Also, Stefan walks in on Damon choking Zach, and he goes, what's going on? In like a really weird tone, like so blasé.
Because I think it must be a standard occurrence that he walks in on Damon just like choking someone.
Ah, oh, what a Monday. I also think it's interesting, the scene, because it's the first time, so Zach evidently trusts Stefan. I think it's the first time you see someone trusting Stefan other than from Stefan's perspective. Because I think there's always been like we think he's a good guy because you kind of see his thoughts in his diary. But it's the first time it's kind of been validated by someone else.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't think about that.
The actor that plays Zach, again, I don't want to insult this man or his livelihood, but he really loves some finger pointing in this episode. He acts by pointing repeatedly at Stefan, and that's his go-to.
But we love a finger point.
We do.
No, I did also kind of enjoy Damon's like quips about what you're doing. I'm here for some family time. We're just having like a family moment as he's choking Zach.
I enjoyed all the Damon Stefan scenes this episode. I don't know, I think they all like set up the whole premise, which is kind of the showdown between Damon and Stefan, quite well. I thought they had really, really good chemistry between Ian and Paul. I think they've clearly like, they always had it pretty good, but I think they've settled into each other and their like patter a bit more, and I liked all their scenes together.
They do have great chemistry. They're best friends.
We also learn a little bit more about Vervain. So we had seen it before in Elena's necklace, but we see the plant. We kind of learn that, oh, it's something that can take down vampires, because we haven't been exposed to too many of their weaknesses.
I completely get that Zach feels he can't use it on Damon. Damon will kill him because he's much stronger. They have been sleeping in his house for, I think, a couple weeks now. He could have just injected them. He could have spiked anything.
Zach's a coward.
Yeah. That's what I took from this. Sorry, Zach, but you are.
He is. He hasn't really tried.
No.
Well, I mean, it's look, I don't want to defend Zach, but it is a big ask. Go against this undead creature of the night.
But you're coming at it from a complete surprise. You've been staying there. They think everything's absolutely fine. Like, I do get the risk is very high.
Why does he stay around?
No one wants to leave Mystic Falls ever. It's the place to be.
Why clearly. Does he leave? Like, it's insane, actually. Why is he... The second Damon's there, I'd be like, I'm going on a long holiday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd definitely leave.
I don't know.
It's the pull of the town.
Just can't escape it.
He can't miss Founder's Day.
No.
God, no.
No.
But he didn't go... Did he go to the... I guess we don't know.
No, this isn't Founder's Day, by
the way.
No,
this isn't Founder's
Day. This is the star of Founder's season.
I think it's always Founder's season.
I think it might be. I think it's just one of the many annual events that happen to celebrate the Founders.
I think you summed it up really well in maybe a message today when we were talking about how we would love to, to live in Mystic Falls. Again, insight into our lives. And Catherine was like, no, we'd be killed instantly. We're not founding families. And I was like,
it's very true. Sadly, we wouldn't last long.
You know what I think we should start doing?
What?
Calling more people punk. Which is what Tyler calls Jeremy.
God, there's so much Jeremy Tyler nonsense bickering in this episode. I was like, again?
I'm done with it. I'm so bored.
I'm really bored. But I do like the insult punk. It's like an 80-year-old man.
What are you doing, punk? Do you know what I did think was really smart this episode? Or like smart from Damon? Because Damon is smart. He's highbrow. We know this. Is telling Caroline to meddle. So Caroline tells Bonnie something about Stefan, and Caroline's like, please don't tell Elena, like Damon will be really angry, like please, please, please don't. And then Bonnie
doing full well.
Yeah, and because she's Bonnie tells Elena because she's genuinely, and that comes from a true place. It's not a meddling place. This is, I care about you, I've heard something really dodgy about your boyfriend,
yeah,
I'm gonna tell you. So then Elena naturally believes it more.
I think Damon is a good judge of character, using everyone's like strengths, like knowing Caroline will meddle, knowing Bonnie will be open and tell Elena because she's concerned. Like, it's very good system he's brought about.
He's a master manipulator.
He really is.
Oh yeah. I was like, of course, you go for the girlfriends. You like, once you get them on side, yeah, like they're gonna stir the pot, and it's
that's
just
where the power is.
That is where the power is. Damon knows it.
I liked the little back and forth of them getting ready. We had the boys getting ready, talking about like wanting to murder each other. Then we had the girls just gossiping. Oh, no, Damon was gossiping though.
Damon loves a gossip.
He loves a gossip.
I actually think Damon would love a girls' night.
Oh, I think he would. Yeah.
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 But whilst the girls are getting ready, Carol phones Elena. I almost forgot her name for a second.
Not Carol.
No, she almost forgot Elena's name.
Phew, not Carol.
We would never forget Carol's. She phones Elena. And so Elena's mom was very big in the founding families. She was really involved in the town's history and running these events. And Elena had given Carol or Tyler some Gilbert artifacts, and something's missing. And it's the pocket watch. And so Elena's like, oh, Jeremy stole it. And don't you think she's really dismissive of his feelings? So Jeremy stole it because he didn't want to be an auction. It's meant to be his. It's meant to be passed down to the first sons. And I get Elena's point that it's only going to be on auction for a night. But in this point, I know she gives it back to him later in the episode.
I don't think it's a night. I think it's a display for a series of months. But I think this display is happening at the Lockwood Mansion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is very odd.
In their
because
home.
Carol's later like, oh, if you find it, bring it. So it's not one night's worth.
That's what I think, and I got confused when they were like, it's on loan. That makes it sound like they're having it for like months or years.
I think it is, but I think it's on loan to be displayed. I mean, we find out that the council want it for what reason we don't know yet. But I think that they're proposing that it and things like the Gilbert's wedding bands will be displayed at the Lockwood Mansion, which is bizarre. Because Tyler's like, when Vicky compliments his house, he's like, oh, it's like a museum.
Is it
a museum?
Maybe.
But no, but vampires can't get in. Do you think vampires can get into a museum?
No. Well, they can't get into this, the Lockwood Mansion.
So that's what I mean.
But it's still private. Well, it's still a residence. It's both a museum and a residence. I think if someone who owned a museum started living there, they couldn't get in there.
I think also they do the watch quite well, because I think they've start to drop it in as just, oh, they just mentioned it. What's it used for? And then it's kind of used for a Jeremy, Elena fight and bond. And I don't think you really realise its significance until it's brought up kind of again and again throughout the episode. And then you're like, ooh, what is it about this watch?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was good to remind us and Elena that Jeremy also lost his parents, because he's been kind of this problem child, and they've said, oh, it's because he's lost his parents, but we've really never seen him like grappling with it. So I think it was nice to bring that up and to point out to Elena that she's a little bit selfish at times.
A little bit.
Just a tad.
And then also in the Damon, Stefan getting ready scene, I also think it's interesting to bring up the picture of Catherine again. I think more as like an audience, like, don't forget, they look the same.
Well, in Stefan's room, when they're getting ready, we get a lovely shot of a beautiful chessboard that's set up and ready to play. Who is Stefan playing with, Zach or Damon?
Himself. Neither.
Yeah, I think the answer must be neither, but it's set up like, oh, maybe I'll make a friend and they'll play chess with me one day.
Or maybe he's hoping it's Elena, because she's not like other girls. She's
she'll
smart.
Like chess. She
can, yeah.
She'll join Bridge Club.
We have been told that by can I say
yeah,
by we've been told by Alice's mom that the best place to meet eligible young gentlemen in London is to join a bridge club. And look, to any bridge players out there, fair play to you, but I don't think that's the right place.
Sorry to Alice's mom. Oh, we have the bit where during the boys getting ready scene, you've got all the quibs about Catherine, and we still don't really know what's happened there. But also Stefan's being really weird with his drink. And he's having
Subtle
a drink.
Has a brick.
Literally, but I love the way Damon does it, because you think he's really falling for it. He pours himself a drink, he takes a sip, and then he just pours it all out. And you're like, oh, Stefan spiked it.
Yeah.
And that was his big plot. And you're like, fuck's sake, Stefan, you ruined it. Like, why? What's happening? Damon's, and he goes, now I'm going to have to go to the party angry. Who knows what I'm going to do? And I was like, oh, that whole bit.
I also like the line just before that where he was like, I can't help but feel a little used. I thought we were having a moment. I love the idea, because I think Damon is a bit indignant. I like the idea of him getting indignant after he's just like been trying to ruin Stefan's life for the past few weeks.
He's like, well, let's have a lovely moment while we drink, but bourbon, scotch, bourbon? What are they drinking?
Probably bourbon. I feel like they're always drinking bourbon. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe
I don't know the difference between bourbon, scotch and whiskey.
Neither, but they are brothers of bourbon, aren't they?
Yeah.
So it must
plug.
Be.
We're not being played.
We're not being played.
I think it's probably
it's a bourbon. Type of whiskey bourbon. So they're probably drinking.
Lovely. We're now finally at the big party, and we get to see, we've spoken about the Lockwood Manor, but we get to see what it looks like.
Wow.
It's incredible.
It's huge.
Amazing.
And there's so many people.
Yeah.
There's a queue to get in. Been at some nice events. Well, not this nice. I've been at a few events in my time. Never have I seen a queue.
Especially not to like a house party or something. This is basically a glorified house party and there is a queue.
It's so weird. And the Lockwoods are out. But what I think is so stupid is Stefan and Damon are in this queue. And somehow magically at both times when they're nearing it, getting in, Richard or Carol are there. And I was like, I was thinking when I watched this, if I was a vampire and I was going to this founder's party, I would drop something off the day before, because you know you're most likely to bump into Tyler, Carol or Richard, and they'd invite you in.
Yeah, you are right.
Balls on Damon and Stefan.
Yeah.
Join a queue and expect to get invited in.
Because what happens, everyone will be like, why aren't you coming in? What's happening?
Or I'd like mill around till the queue dies down, have a drink outside, you know, there's people milling around, and then go.
I don't think there's anyone serving drinks outside. Not at the front, only in the back garden,
okay,
which
then
is
you would
also
look like
beautiful.
A bit weird.
Can we quickly talk about all the looks? So if I say a character name, because I've written down something for each of them, but if I say a character name, you tell me how you feel about their outfit.
Interesting. Yes. I like this.
Vicky.
I thought she looked beautiful.
I didn't love the colour, but I did like her dress.
So I thought she looked very sweet, not her colour, but props to the costume department. It did look like a dress she'd borrowed from someone else that it suited her more, that she was dressing up to look nice for Tyler's
parents. That's a good
parents.
Point, actually.
Yeah, but I thought she looked great.
She did. Yeah, she did look good. And she kind of did herself up very well. Like, even if the colour wasn't quite right, she looked
She straightened her hair. Yeah. I've talked about how she had messy hair before. This was her like seeming nice with her straight, not that straight, I don't have straight hair, but not that straight hair is needed to be nice, but she's clearly made herself look a little bit more, what she thinks presentable should be. Tyler?
Yeah. I haven't even clocked his outfit. Not a clue. Was
he in a light blue suit?
Oh, yes, he was. No, yeah. Not good.
It didn't fit him very well.
No.
Not amazing. Elena?
Fine, not her best.
Quite liked it, but I didn't love the like multicolored. I don't know. Yeah. She looked good. I didn't love the dress, but she just always looks good.
I think she looked stunning, but she looked very of the time. Like the dress was really like I don't know what you call like 2009 to 2012. Mm. I don't know what you call that period of time because it's like the late 2000s kind of. But she looked very that. And the little hair bump was also really of the time. Like, I think she looked beautiful, but she is beautiful. I did like the colour, but it had a weird glossy print on the dress. I wasn't a massive fan of. Caroline?
I mean, I think the scarf does detract from the look, but she has to wear the scarf.
I think it's all very, like, flowery and frilly, which I personally don't
like. I hated it.
Yeah.
I wrote, bad hair, bad dress, bad cardigan, bad scarf. Carol says, you look smashing. Carol lies.
Wow, you've even insulted Carol in that.
How did Carol look?
Oh, always
gorgeous
great.
As always.
Stunning, 10 out of 10.
But I do think her fashion evolves.
Yes, she looks better. Again, a bit of sizzle.
Yeah.
I also feel like they've really treated Caroline poorly with these cardigans lately. I feel like she's had a bad cardigan in almost every episode so far.
What is the thing with cardigans? I hate cardigans.
They were also, I feel like, off the
I am wearing a cardigan. Ellie said, fuck her drag.
I love your outfit.
Jesus Christ.
But you wouldn't wear that to a founder's party.
No, I wouldn't, Ellie, but I'm sat right here.
I'm sorry.
Move on. Damon.
No, well, just before that, we realised, so we've got a scene for Stefan.
I'm still going through the outfit.
Oh, sorry.
What do you think I just said Damon?
Yes.
What do you think she was alluding to at that point?
Another scene with Damon.
No, right. I'm nearly done, Al. Damon, what do you think of his look?
Always great.
Yeah, yes. Classic.
Yeah.
Stefan?
Fine.
I think it was basically the same as Damon's, wasn't it?
No, it was more brown, I think. Oh. And also it didn't fit him.
Right.
Again, problem with the suit fitting. And then Bonnie.
I can't remember Bonnie's, which I feel really bad saying.
I wrote bad look, bad hair. Very 2000s jewellery. Mm. I think she had that pattern.
Yeah. I love the bits with Bonnie at the party. I think I was enraptured with that, not with what she was wearing.
Yeah.
Same. But it must not have been good because I don't remember it.
It wasn't flattering. It was like a, I don't know what you call a dress where it kind of like ties in the front, low in the boot. Very like 2000s with like a weird, ugly pattern.
I feel like quite a lot. I guess it is more for the women than the men because I feel like the women's fashion has changed so much since, but I feel like a lot of the outfits in this episode are very noughties.
Yeah, definitely.
And I guess in a few other episodes too.
Yeah, definitely. Now I've gone through everyone. You can move on, Alice.
You see Stefan previously tried to spite Damon's drink and it doesn't work and you're like, oh no, the plan's foiled. And then you see Stefan talking to Zach and you realise the plan isn't foiled. He's actually got another plan up his sleeve.
I thought that was really good. And you were like, ooh, okay. He's not as useless as we think he is.
At the party, we have Elena kind of looking at all the exhibits. Now, so we know that, and one of them is her parents' wedding rings. And we know that the idea is Carol had previously agreed to get them off Elena's parents. Do you think Elena's parents agreed to loan out their wedding rings that presumably they wear every day? Or Carol waited until they died and then asked for them?
I think they agreed to loan because isn't it when Elena's talking with Jeremy, she's going through stuff. It's like, oh, that's, or maybe it's Jenna. It's like, oh, it's Grandma Bess. And then it was also, and great, great, great. So I think they're ones that pass down.
That's still weird. But if you wear it every, if it's your wedding, I understand they're passed through the line.
I think.
But it's theirs.
I agree. But I think they might have actually agreed to loan them. Be like, here you go. Give it back to me in 6 months.
I think it's like a thing they do for the founders.
Every year they loan out their wedding ring for 6 months to be a little bit
Clearly, I don't know why, but yes. Yeah, wild. And on that, you've got the list of Sheriff Forbes, Mayor Lockwood. You've got the original signing. And there just happens to be a Damon Salvatore and a Stefan Salvatore.
Dum, dum, the original dum. Salvatore brothers.
Oh, I love that.
It's not a coincidence at all.
Also, you can definitely tell that, like, Damon's very good at kind of making these things up and covering up on the fly. And you see Stefan just kind of, Elena asks, and Stefan just kind of blind panic. And then Damon swoops in like, obviously the original Salvatore brothers.
Okay, but the line he feeds Elena is that they come from a family where there are sets of brothers who are cursed to fall in love with the same woman.
Who tragically dies as well.
Yeah, and Elena's just like, okay.
So she's like, cool, I'm not going to get in the middle of it. And then immediately gets in the middle of it. But also, did you notice Damon said he's in therapy? He's feeding that line that Stefan was the one. And he says he's in therapy because of Stefan.
Yeah, he's definitely like drip feeding very well. I mean, this was less subtle, but I feel like he is sort of drip feeding in a very calculated way.
I wrote, never has a person so clearly not been in therapy as Damon Salvatore.
So clearly. But I think he's also drip feeding the audience because we know who the original Salvatore brothers are. We know different things that have happened. And then Damon explains the fire at the church and he goes, Stefan and Damon had someone they loved very much in that church. So we're, I think, all as the audience like, ooh, who is it? Is it Catherine? Is it someone else? Like, who's in the church? Who was it? Which I think is a nice, not very subtle from Damon at all, but like a nice thing for the audience to be like, ooh, what happened there?
Yeah, I think they're good at drawing out us finding out about the whole Catherine storyline. I think they kind of, yeah, the odd hint here and there in each episode.
Leave the audience hungry for more.
Exactly. Also, at this party, Jenna is drunk and I love it.
Yes.
Yeah, I love Jenna.
So we get a few new relationships. We know Jenna and Logan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we also know Logan and a woman named Monica, which is what broke them apart. So he was definitely the cheater.
Definitely.
Don't you think she forgives Logan too quick?
Oh, definitely. I think she's putting up like a front at the beginning and then...
Yeah, she rolls over.
Rolls over, yeah.
Yeah, when he says he's persistent and I'm like, you're not persistent. You've tried 3 times in one night.
And he wasn't even that, like, sorry or gross. Like, he wasn't really making an effort. He was being a bit sassy and that's it. Trying to be fun.
Yeah, I hate it. I don't think we're meant to like Logan and Jenna because as we learn at the end of the episode, maybe he's got some ulterior motives.
Mm.
But I don't know, I just hate that Jenna, who is this really fun, cool character, caved so fucking easily to this man in a terrible suit.
Yeah.
On costumes, Logan's is poor.
Awful. It's like a orange top and a white suit.
Yeah. And he's hideous. And his hair's like
weirdly high.
But not like, very high, the same. Yeah.
Like it's trying to be higher than it's capable of being.
Yes, 100%. That is very much like, yes.
And we get a very significant scene of the first time Bonnie uses magic.
Yeah, this is...
No, that's a great scene. Can we go back to, I hate talking about it again, but Vicky and Tyler, because they're in the garden. And that's when you've got Carol being like, you'll have to forgive my son that he gets his rudeness from his father.
You're on kind of Carol's side a bit here, I think, as well.
But then she goes, when Vicky, like, runs away. Not runs away, rightly goes away. Like, she's not running away. And then she goes, that's what you get. You didn't want to talk about it because it's talking about Carol in a bad way. I can see Catherine's face.
Look, we create our own reality and I didn't hear that. I don't know what scene you're talking about.
She goes, that's what you get when you bring the trash into the party to Tyler. So then you're like, oh, maybe Carol's not the nicest at this point in time.
I don't know why you're slandering this woman.
There's some character development. We'll see how she goes.
Yeah.
I don't think she's in it enough to get development there.
Well.
But anyway, slander. I didn't hear anything of the sort.
Interesting. Alice, what did you think of that?
But I think Catherine might need to face the truth.
No.
But then, yeah, sorry, we can't.
Then we do get
Bonnie.
Oh, no, wait. We get Bonnie, but we also get Carol being rude to the staff.
Yeah.
So.
Hell, I'm being paid.
Yeah, but it's a room no one's using.
Also, why are there so many what possible... I'm not on her side of this. Why do you need that many candles lit, Carol? What ambience are you trying to create in that room? There's hundreds of them.
In a room no one's using.
Bonnie was
got
there.
You've got a massive house, like a massive house.
Also, the rest of the house doesn't have this candle mania.
No.
Just this room, the candle room.
There's so many of them. It's insane.
I also really loved candle mania.
Yeah, that was sewed in very beautifully.
Amazing.
I try.
I liked how we got to see how powerful Bonnie was. Like she tries to light one candle and then the candle mania is all lit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's also really good that they kind of do it. She tries to light one candle, thinks she's failed, and then turns around and is like, oh, wait, No.
Did anyone notice the song that was playing?
Yes, I thought it was lovely.
I just have good tunes written down in my notes.
It was another example of them picking a song, I think, for the lyrics, because it was Brightest Hour by The Submarine.
Bless her, it was The Brightest Hour. I also really liked the song that was playing when Elena and Stefan were dancing.
Yeah. I do really like Bonnie. And I'm glad to see her getting a bit more to do and like her powers growing. Do you actually think we need to talk about Bonnie's hair?
Yeah.
Look, we're a podcast who loves to talk about hair. And I think we've spoken about every character's one bar Bonnie's.
Yes.
It's a harder conversation to have. But Bonnie and Kat Graham is the only black actor on the main cast. I think for the whole series run, I don't know. I haven't seen the last few series.
Yeah.
Thanks. I mean, I haven't seen it right through. But yeah.
And her hair is consistently hideous. Not her hair. They put her in wigs, and the wigs they put her in are awful. They were bad this episode. They were bad the episode before. They've been bad the entire time we've talked about it. It's really painful to watch. Especially as there's lots of wigs in the show that are really good. Like in season 2, one of the main characters consistently wears wigs and it looks amazing.
So it's
only Kat that gets the bad wig.
And she's spoken about it. And I think I've seen interviews of her where she's been crying, talking about her hair experience on Vampire Diaries. And it's just
So awful. We're not the best people to speak about this because we are three white women. But I have taken a quote from Kat Graham, who can maybe talk about it a little bit better. So this is an interview she gave with Distractify in October 2020. So it's important this was given after the Vampire Diaries ended. So she didn't have anything to lose by speaking out. So when I was auditioning, my hair would always be done that way, straightened or permed or something like that. My character for my breakout role as Bonnie pretty much always had straight wavy hair. Kat revealed that she had presented the idea a few times of Bonnie having more curls or textures, saying it was shot down pretty quickly. This creates a false images of who we are, and there's not enough representation. There's two things. Firstly, they never hired anyone in the hair department who could do her hair properly, which is a big problem in the industry in general. And then said it was not right for her character to have natural hair, which is really bad. I know I'm speaking a lot, but just to quote a little bit by an article written by Bashirat Oldalay in August 2021 called The Importance of Representing Black Hairstyles on TV. In 2021, there is no room for shows that send black women and girls negative messages about our hair. The cultural impact of natural hairstyles being seen on television is of paramount importance, especially as we live in a time when more and more black women and girls feel comfortable with their own hair. For many, it's less about a political statement and more about self-acceptance and the opportunity to embrace their natural hair in its natural, unaltered state. So it's a very important thing to say, especially as we love to talk about hair, that quite frankly, it's not good enough what they do with Bonnie's hair throughout the show. And we are aware of it and we hate it.
Absolutely. And I think the second quote you read out is so true. It's telling women that the way their hair naturally is not good enough, or it's not the right style, is horrific and should never be done. And young girls watching that scene and saying like, my hair doesn't look like that. Am I going to need to do that to my hair to look pretty? Exactly. And also, that's not the case.
They shot in Georgia. There is an abundance of black hairstylists in Georgia. It's crazy that they didn't hire someone who not only is part of their main cast of however many, is one of the principal characters, and the show went on for 8 years and they didn't hire someone who could.
I think that's quite telling as well, because surely over those 8 years, their awareness of what they should be like, they'll have known, as Kat Graham said, and that she brought it up. So I think that's really, really telling as well. It wasn't just ignorance, it was choice.
They have eyes. They can see that the wigs they were putting her in looked shite.
Yeah.
But I think also they don't like to make... I think also they deliberately try throughout the show to dim Kat's light to make the other girls on the show look better, because she's so beautiful, but I think they constantly downplay it.
But like the thing is, the cast, they're all beautiful. No one's light needs to be dimmed for everyone, everyone to look beautiful. Like you don't need to do that to a character. But going back to what you were saying, Al, like, it's not just ignorance. They just refuse to listen to her and listen to her voice, which I know the industry can do when it's like young women, blah, blah, blah. But I just think it's awful when she's talking about her own experiences and she's...
And she was the youngest member of the cast.
Yeah.
But yes, just wanted to touch on that. So we're talking about some heavy stuff this episode.
We are, but justice for Kat Graham. We'll never let that one go.
Yeah, it's really wrong what they did. She does a really great Vogue video where she talks about embracing her natural hair and encourage everyone to watch it.
Is that where she's in the mirror getting ready?
It's really good. Going for anyone, and she talks about her natural hair. Because she had a journey with it, because she's mixed race, she's half Jewish and half Black. She talks about how even her mom used to always chemically treat her, not in a bad way, she just didn't know how to handle it, and used to chemically treat her hair. So it's been a process, like, getting it back to its gorgeous natural state, and she looks beautiful with her natural curls. And we wish they were in the show. Okay, we can move on. We then have kind of a pivotal scene between Elena and Caroline in the bathroom.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's brutal. So they're getting ready together and Caroline's trying to say that not everything's happy.
Just before that, we have Elena and Stefan kind of have an argument.
Yeah.
So I think it's, like, interesting that Damon's kind of manipulation is obviously paying off, but Stefan is kind of shutting down all Elena's questions. So I do think in this, she's actually understandably frustrated. I mean, they haven't been dating very long, so I think it's, she's asking for a lot. But I understand why she's frustrated. But I think it's really interesting how that kind of dynamic plays, because Stefan's just kind of keeping all his cards very close to his chest.
I do get where the frustration's coming from, because Damon is being, what she thinks, so open and honest. And all Elena wants to do is hear Stefan's side of the story. And he is just refusing. He's not telling her anything. And what he's doing is then he looks a bit... I don't hate using the word crazy, but he just looks a bit crazy because he's like, did Damon put you up to this? Did Damon get in your head? Has Damon done this?
Like, yeah. It's very odd for him to be this paranoid about his brother if they were, as they are pretending to be, regular human guys.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah.
But anyway, then on to the scene with Caroline and Elena in the bathroom.
I did like how quickly Elena went to bat for Caroline. Like, she is like, oh my God, this is fucked up.
Yeah, and she apologizes to Stefan and she's like, whatever's happening. But then it is so messed up when Elena says to Stefan, like, I think he's hurting Caroline. And he's like, I know, I'm handling it. He's done a really bad job of handling it in the past. That's what he's done.
Exactly. Yeah. At one point she was like, call the police. And I'm like, yeah, you call the police. You tell them this is wrong. She also should, like, when after Stefan's like, I'm handling this. I get that, like, things happen later on, but she kind of should never speak to him again, because, like, say we're in this situation.
Yeah.
One, my boyfriend's brother is hurting one of you guys and they just brush it off. I'd be like, no, we're never speaking again. You are dead to me.
Mm.
And also, like, I love how angry she got, but maybe she should stay with Caroline. Caroline leaves and she doesn't go after her.
Yeah. Well, no, what we've missed is, pre that, though, is Caroline's looking for Damon and it's in the room where all the artifacts are, and Damon takes out a crystal. Yeah. So Caroline sees that and we don't know what it is, but we know that Damon put it there 145 years ago. So that's quite interesting. And then we have the arguments, because at that point, Damon and Caroline are fine. Obviously, he'd be prime suspect if Caroline showed up dead or missing. Elena will be like, well, like, she was in a relationship with him and he was an abusive boyfriend. So it's so stupid, but it's all for the plot twist.
Yeah. But then we're back to their dynamic of their, like, fucked up, scary way he treats her, because she's getting really upset and he's like, I forgive you. And then it's
you
like,
make me crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he, like, sniffs her, which I found really creepy in the scene.
It's like meant to be like a romantic almost.
Yeah.
He's, like,
but also in some ways that's hurt him, like.
No, it's not. It's not romantic.
Sniffing his prey, like, almost his prey. Like, yeah, it's awful.
No, sorry, from Caroline's point of view, it's, like, meant to be them, like, getting on. Maybe from Damon's point of view, it's him being about to eat her.
And then he does. But then you find out that Stefan's plan B was he couldn't spike Damon with Vervain.
I love it. Great plan. It's so good. Stefan's like Batman.
I do feel like Damon didn't need to try and kill Caroline for this, though. He could have just snuck off and... eat, like, you know, as he was biting her anyway.
So I said there's no point to him killing her, really.
I think it's just to show that Damon's not a good guy.
I think she's annoyed him.
Yeah. and that's that.
Also, what I think, again, is interesting is Caroline just drops to the floor, and it's a good few kind of, even maybe minutes before you realise Caroline isn't dead again.
Stefan does just abandon her there.
Yeah, just prime focus is getting Damon out. And yeah, he does just leave her. So Elena finds her when she's woken up, and that's the bit that we've spoken about where she's just sobbing and she's so scared and she doesn't know what's happened. But what I was wondering is, does she have a massive bite mark? I don't know, but I just think it's really weird that Elena can't see the bite, because the scarf, it wouldn't, either there'd be blood on the scarf or it's on her neck. So I just don't get when she's like, what happened? Clearly, clearly something happened, Elena. Well,
it wasn't about Elena, so she wasn't paying attention.
That's also very
she
true.
She just had a fight with Stefan. It's hard for her.
Do you think, sorry, this is the worst line of the show, do you think maybe is, you were right, Damon, headline reads, deadly beast captured, yeah, and yeah. It's Stefan looking.
Oh yeah, it's so awful.
Cheesy. Stefan's Dear Diary is this entire episode. We had one at the start and one at the end. Lovely little bookend. Oh, we see what you're doing. I'm not on board with the writing. But again, as I said, it was written by a pervert, so it's fine.
It's fine. We don't want it.
But it was really, really bad. They were bad little voiceovers to do. I didn't enjoy either of them.
What I did like was a couple of kind of plot twists at the end, which is Caroline has the gem.
Mm.
So we've got no idea what it's for, what's going to happen, what's she going to do with it. And then the final founders scene. So the founders council are gathered together and they talk about the watch. So we know there's some real significance there. Then they also say,
So they're talking about the watch. And so in the founders council, it's the Lockwoods, Sheriff Forbes and Logan Fell are in the room and they're talking about she didn't have the watch, she said she lost it, so we know they're talking about the Gilbert watch. And then Logan's like, I might have a way of getting it. And I think then Mayor Lockwood's like, are you sure? And Sheriff Forbes goes, 5 bodies, all drained of blood, they've come back.
Oh, so they know it's about so vampires.
Good. I do think the ending is
solid ending.
Yeah, really good ending.
The parents know, guys. The parents never know in these things.
No, yeah. They do know. Because it's like, oh, you think they just can easily be fooled by all of these. Just like, let's just say it's animal attacks. It's just a wolf. It's just something else. And they're like, nope.
Carol's on to you.
Well, I think in this point, sorry, hon, it is Liz. No.
She's Carol. There.
Carol's there, yes.
Leading the meeting. Reconfigured the council.
I think we all know who reconfigured the council. I'm sorry.
I don't think it is Liz because Liv's... Well, Carol isn't either. It must have been either the Fells or Mayor Lockwood because they're not born into it.
No, Sheriff Forbes. It was Sheriff Forbes in the...
No, but she's not born in... She's not a born yeah. Forbes. So she must have been told... I'm assuming she told when she married Bill.
Sorry, we didn't talk about this. But you know when Caroline goes to... chat to Liz at the beginning of the party and Carol goes, where's your dad? And she goes, like, in Memphis with Stephen. Are Liz and Bill together? Is that meant to be a dig? Because Liz looked like shocked, not like, or upset by that.
I think they've split up, but I think she's still maybe like a bit upset about it.
Yeah,
I know.
I think they're not together. She knows he has a boyfriend because Caroline's dad is gay. What it is that they're like, oh, it's not only did your husband leave you, he left you for a man. Like, you're so much less of a woman because of that. And I think Caroline's making that little dig as opposed to her being shocked that the answer is with Stephen. I think it's more like, oh, my daughter's being quite nasty about this.
Right. Okay, that makes a lot more sense. Because in my head, I was like, they're not together, are they?
No.
But all in all, great episode. We're really getting into it. I think.
Yeah, I feel this really start. Yeah, it's getting meaty.
What's that sound? Stats time.
Breaking news.
Dum dum dum.
I actually remembered to write the stats bit down.
Beautiful. So every single episode, we want to get into the minutia, the data behind Vampire Diaries. So we are keeping track of how many lives each character has taken. And we're also tracking every single relationship within the show. So what do we have for this week?
No murders, I feel, but an attempted murder. Doesn't quite make the stats, though.
Yeah. No deaths. So our overall count remains at...
5.
4.
5?
Yeah, 4. No, for who?
Oh, for Damon. Oh, you're correcting me. And I was like, no.
It is 5. They're all Damon.
All Damon, yes.
Yes, because we're keeping track individual.
We are.
Yeah. And we could do a running total, actually. We haven't needed to because it's only been Damon.
It's only been Damon, but it's 5 for 5.
5 for 5, baby.
And then we know that Jenna and Logan dated, and also Monica, who cheated on Jenna with Monica. Then you've got Sheriff Forbes, Caroline's dad, which is Bill, and then Stephen, and the Lockwoods.
Yep. So the now we have a situation where the chart doesn't all link up together yet, because we've got the adults that are separate. But maybe some of these adults will end up linking up to the children and maybe it'll be fucked up.
Maybe.
Maybe.
But we've got very distinct and separate parts of it currently.
Check the Instagram for updates.
I looked into some trivia for this episode. We don't have loads. We already talked about Damon reading the Twilight books, but we didn't mention that Ian Somerhalder is now married to Nikki Reed, who played Rosalie Hale in the Twilight Saga movies. So that's a lovely little... I didn't know that at the time, but it's nice.
She was also in the OC. do you think they speak about vampires a lot in their life?
No. I feel like they don't. I feel like they probably speak about vampires less than we speak about
vampires. Definitely less than we speak about
vampires. I think anyone would speak less than we speak about vampires. Well, but he's gone on to do more vampire-related things.
I will retweet on the account, if I remember to, when we put this episode up, the recent advert that they put together for the Super Bowl.
Oh, that was
Bowl.
So good.
This will be old news by the time this episode goes out. But the Paul and Ian have a bourbon company. And they
Brothers of Bourbon, that we are not paid by.
No paid sponsor here, but if you would like to send us some, please do.
Please do.
But they have a lovely little advert, a lovely little skit, which is all based on the Vampire Diaries.
Because they haven't let go. Like, I do think, I wonder if, so Ian's in a Damon t-shirt and Paul's in a Stefan t-shirt. And I wonder if Ian just walks around. And then maybe Nikki's in an Edward t-shirt.
Would love if she had some Edward colored merch.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah, I feel like Ian and Paul definitely talk about vampires.
Yeah.
My favorite fact about Ian and Paul is that Ian's, like, phone case, it was like a fan created merch where he cropped out Ian with his girlfriend, which at the time was Nina Dobrev, and it's him and her walking hand in hand, and it's Paul Wesley and someone walking hand in hand, and they've cropped it so it's Ian and Paul walking hand in hand, and Ian bought that and it was his phone case, and I
fucking
love
that.
It
that's like Lily Tomlin has a purse that's just made out of Jane Fonda's mugshot, and I fucking love it.
Oh, that's great.
It's so fun. Another fun fact is because we had Vivain introduced in more detail, I was checking to see if it was real. It is real, and according to Cancer Research UK, there is belief amongst therapists that it can help improve your mental and emotional and spiritual well-being. However, it is not proven to cure any cancer or physical condition. It's long been associated with the divine and other supernatural forces. And in the Victorian language of flowers, it has a dual meaning of enchantment and sensibility.
Interesting. I also think one fact, and I think I looked this up when I first ever heard Vivain, and I was like, I haven't heard of that. Is it a thing? And I think Vivain is the American way of saying it, and it's verbena. So if you've ever had like verbena tea or whatever, that's what verbena is.
And then my final little fact is this episode features the debut, I don't even know how to say this name, Margarite McIntyre, maybe?
Oh, Marguerite, I think.
Marguerite McIntyre, maybe, who plays Liz. She actually went on to produce and write a number of episodes of the Vampire Diaries spin-off, The Originals.
Did she
I
now?
I found that out today. I had no idea.
That's really exciting. Oh, I love Liz.
Yeah.
Oh, good for her. Well, we've got to watch The Originals. So we've never watched The Originals. Which is shocking, considering I think you all know by now we're avid Vampire Diaries fans. We've never watched it, so we're going to have to.
How much more we'll have to say when all of the podcast has seen all of Vampire Diaries and then all of the podcast has seen all of The Originals?
We'll have too much to say, because one of our friends, we got really excited by the fact that he'd seen Vampire Diaries, and he says he prefers The Original.
I know, imagine.
Imagine. I just can't think of anything better.
No.
We'll leave you all on that thought. Promise The Originals. We have a couple of plugs.
Oh gosh, it'll be this time. So our Instagram is Missing Mystic Falls Pod. Woo. Our Twitter is at Miss Mystic Pod. And that's it.
I mean, we have an email address if you want to email us.
Gosh, you can do.
Which is missingmysticpod@gmail.com. If you
think it is. Is it not missingmysticfoolspod@gmail.com?
Missingmysticfoolspod. Is that not what I said? Did I say missing mystic?
Yes.
Oh, it is.
I'll check the tapes.
Check the tapes. But it's missingmysticfoolspod@gmail.com. If you want to email us, if you don't want to get on our socials, that's fine.
Yes, if you want to harass things we said that was wrong, correct us about American small life or how American football works, we would love to hear it. But that's it for this week. We will be back next week with the next episode of Missing Mystic Falls.
Lots of sizzle waiting for you.
Bye. Bye.